Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It is that time of the week. Summer is well underway. We had the solstice last week. Sunset at 8:10 p.m. And you, of course, are well on your way towards taking another step towards health. I hope so. I hope that's on your checklist of things to get done this summer while you're out of school, while you're going to vacation, while you're going to find that little bit of extra time to do the things you can't normally do during the other months of the year. So what do you have for breakfast? Cup of coffee? Donut? I hope not. You had your version of what you think constitutes health or non-health. And whatever that version was, the word taste is at the forefront of your mind. And the word nourishment. And taste and nourishment aren't always the same thing. Now, we know that. We've actually hodgepodged and grueled that concept into a misconception, and that is that if it tastes good, it's not healthy. And if it tastes bad, it's got to be good for you. And you laugh, and I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but nonetheless, lots of people really and truly classify health food as what doesn't taste good, and junk food and all the bad stuff is, of course, what you crave. And while that, in a sense, to some extent is true, it doesn't have to be. Because your body has an electrical system, your chemistry, the physiology, biology, and physics you evolved with as Homo sapien, evolved a way to take taste and nourishment and fuse them together and to set off signals in your abdomen, to set off those signals that tell you that taste and nourishment is fusing into one beautiful musical piece. That's right. And that's the way you're supposed to eat. Now, we draw these lines because, well, we're trying to make a point to ourselves that we know that junky stuff doesn't make us feel good and thus isn't giving us nourishment. But that's not functional. This is why people eat all wrong. This is why we manifest so much disease off inflamed digestive systems, and we're going to get to that today. Because we don't know how to take the word taste and nourishment and feel it in the receptor sites of your body. Wow. Now there's a physical exam Kaiser should be doing. Does John Q patient that walks in each year for a physical exam have the capacity to fuse taste with nourishment based on receptor sites in the small intestine that give his brain neurotransmitters to explode that fusion between taste and nourishment? I mean, did you hear what I just said? You get a whole new hospital right there. And we've got a word for that. It's called the enteric nervous system. Now, what do I mean? Let's go right in to your small intestine right now, do a little bit of basic anatomy, and then have you understand my point, my all-important point. And if you're dealing with intestinal issues, colitises, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, gastritis, acid reflux, if you're looking at, well, that cancer concern, you don't want to get it, you've had it, you don't want it to return, constipation, volvuluses, if you're looking at anything, if you're looking at autoimmune disease, all disease begins in the gut. And the body put a neurological arc from the intestine to the brain termed the enteric nervous system, that safeguards you against the first beginnings of disruption in that neurological relay system from your gut to your brain. The gut-brain connection. Yeah, you heard that one. You heard the GAPS diet. Less often do you hear the enteric nervous system. And it sounds new. See, that's the thing. It's new. We've discovered it. We haven't discovered anything. We're just repackaging stuff that's been going on, well, who knows how long. Longer than the Sphinx has been built. We've evolved. Homo sapien has evolved to know those signals in its being. Now we're getting too esoteric, aren't we? Now we're not scientific. No, we're not. Yes, we are. The fusion of your common sense with your body signals is where all science really begins. The fusion of your common sense with your bodily signals is really where all science begins. True science is working out of its own enteric nervous system. Let's get to the science. If you're new to the show, I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, my radio show, straighttalk.cc. Get on the website so you can follow with the pictures. We've got a ton of pictures today. We've got a YouTube clip. If you can't, then get on it later. You're going to need to. Follow it with the pictures. It's so much easier. Okay, go to picture number one. Picture one, number one, this is show 214. Picture number one. Now, what is picture number one? That is a electron microscopic image of, now go to picture number four. Go to picture number four. That's the inside, picture number four, of 35 feet of small intestine. Your bowels. Your small bowels. There's the large one, which is 6 feet long, and the small one, which is about 35 feet long. That's the inside, the lumen, as we call it. Finger-like projections spanning the full 35 feet of your small intestine. If we blow it up under the electron microscope, you're looking at picture number one. That individual finger-like projection is called a villi, intestinal villi, V-I-I-V-I-L-L-I, or villus is the plural. Okay? Now, you have to have a relationship with that. You have to understand that that is the gateway for health or disease. You have to understand that that is the antennas on your forehead. You could take all 55 trillion of those and paste them to your forehead and walk around the neighborhood. You could do that. And those villi are going to be reaching out and embracing your environment, or those villi are going to be congealing, imploding, twisting, screaming, bleeding, dying, falling off your forehead. Those villi exist in the lumen, the hole of your 35 feet, either welcoming what you shove down there, or inflaming and atrophying and dying and bleeding to it. That has massive implications in a better world, in Medici's better world. Each year at Kaiser, when you were given your physical exam, you would be given tests of an assorted nature to determine whether or not your villi had any good old-fashioned common sense. Were they functional? Were they inflamed? Were they constricted? Did they know how to sense that great fusion between taste and nourishment? That's real science. Because once these intestinal villi inflame, you inflame. Yes, that's your back pain. Yes, that's your headache. Yes, that's your cancer. Yes, that's your ankylosing spondylitis. Yes, that's your lupus. I'm not the only person saying this. Different people make great headlines. Repackaging basic concepts. Look at picture number 30. Go to picture number 30, The Gut and Psychology Syndrome by Natasha Campbell. Picture 31, The GAPS Diet. If you've got ADD, ADHD, autism, celiac disease, depression, dyslexia, dyspraxia, schizophrenia, and more, do my diet. Well, yes, and Got to give it that one too. Not to knock it. Good point. Good rehash of what's basic physiology. The upside is you get it. You hear about it. You tried it. The downside is if you don't go underneath it, you're not going to understand anything about it. Well, look, picture 32. Look at picture 32. Five reasons not to do the GAPS diet. Look at picture 33. 10 reasons to do the GAPS diet. Like everything else that confuses you and reduces your morning breakfast to coffee and donuts, because what's the sense? No one knows what's going on. Everybody disagrees. Once again, we can't even get unanimity behind the GAPS diet. And why is that? Because nobody really takes the time to understand what is essentially being said. No one will argue with, okay, now flip up there. Got to move with that computer. Got to get deft with that computer. By the way, if any of you who are streaming the show out of state are not getting good reception, please email my website. We've got reports from Kansas, Nebraska, and a few other places in the United States where the streaming isn't working. Now, K-Bride has recently changed the programming for the streaming. It's working pejoratively, but there are states that are getting terrible reception. So if you are, please tell me. Not if you're on the radio. If you're on the radio, well, then you may get bad reception. But if you're listening to the show on the computer, streaming it, looking at the pictures, which I hope you are, and you're out of the state of California getting bad reception, please email my website, okay? All right, Wonderval. Picture one, back to picture number one. Here's essentially what the GAPS diet and all this stuff is about. That finger-like projection, blown up 40,000 times, picture number one, needs to be happy. Because when it's happy, you're going to get signals in the form of neurotransmitter that are going to tell you you did good. You can feel that fusion between taste and nourishment. Didn't you ever taste something healthy and it made you sick? And while you're turning green on your way to ER with your left arm falling off, your friend says, you must be just detoxing. You know, you got to get those toxins out of there. You see, and you're underneath it all going, no, you just asked me to eat vomit in the name of health food, and I hated it. Take a hint. Take a hint. When it tastes that bad, if you're somewhat attuned, it's a signal that even in the name of health, that food is not petting those villi. It's not giving you the right signal. Listening to your digestion. Talk to centurions, people that live over the age of 100, almost across the board. You're talking to people who really do this. A little known, forgotten fact. Forgotten, not even understood. Is that people that live to old ages listen to their digestive system. When people say, I have digestive upset, I just can't find what to eat. This whole genre, the plethora of tension and complaints and problems and issues about food, it's a big issue. It's an even bigger issue since, well, where's the food anyway? But it's not just the fact that we don't have an ecosystem to produce as much food as we used to, good food. It's people are increasingly dissociated from knowing how to feel their food. And yes, you're nodding your head because you're thinking, what? You do feel your food? You don't feel your food? Well, at least be on that journey. Now, let me give you a little bit more behind this, okay? There's that intestinal villi. I want you to break down the intestinal villi, picture one, to picture number two. Actually, go to picture number three. Now, there's a little cartoon of a bunch of those intestinal villi on a slide. That's picture number three. Now look at picture number six. Look at picture number six. Now we're blowing up diagrammatically the intestinal villi. We're drawing pictures of it with different colors. And that's good because I have to refer, and I will in a moment, to each of these structures. You're at picture number six now. And if you're looking at these colors, they mean something. What do they mean? Well, I think we're going to go to picture number 7. Just want to take you on the cartoon tour. Go to picture number 7. That's what I want you to focus on right now. Picture number 7. Picture number 7, look at the left-hand side, epithelial cells. Epithelial cells. Those cells suck up the food. They do. And it's a lot of work to do that. Don't give those cells too much work. If you're eating wood, sawdust, well, genetically engineered food, if you're chowing down some processed whatever, some knockwurst from some deli, little McDonald's, no, the good stuff, organic ham, any garbage that you eat, anything that grandma didn't make from the garden in the backyard is making those cells, epithelial cells, work too hard to take that food in. We talk about digestion. Now, you got to catch this. You really got to catch this statement. Digestion, yes. You dump the garbage down your throat. It sits there like a big rotten egg. And you send all that bile in from your biliary system. You send all that hydrochloric acid in. You send all that pancreatic enzyme in. You send all of it in to break up that food. Here's the bottom line. That liquefaction of the food you eat, the cooked garbage that you eat regularly, sits there in a liquid state. And if it's not the great fusion between taste and nourishment, if it's not the fusion between taste and nourishment, if it's not that food that nourishes you but tastes great, those cells are working too hard. Because those cells are cells. Go to picture number 11. Picture number 11. Take a look at that gorgeous blue cell. That's a cell. It's got a membrane. It's got a cytoplasm. It's got a mitochondria. It's got all sorts of stuff that cells have, all the different organelles. That cell is no different than the cell I just told you to look at. Go to page 7, picture 7 now. Those epithelial cells is just like that cell I just showed you. Those cells have jobs to do. This is not a heart cell, right? This is not a kidney cell. It's not a liver cell. It's not a neuron. It's not a brain cell. It's an epithelial cell in the small intestine, and it composes your intestinal villi. Those are the cells that meet the digested goo that you just suffered through over Thanksgiving dinner. And if you make that cell work too hard, boy, I'm feeling good. I really think we're delivering this to you. Don't you think so? I think you're going to really get it. Get it. Because you've heard it before, but did you get it? Then you hear it again, but did you get it? One day you get it. See, the art of knowledge is getting it, not accumulating it. The art of knowledge is getting it, not accumulating. That's what we do today. We accumulate knowledge. Just accumulate it. I get emails all the time. Dr. Medici, I've done my research, and you've basically put 15,000 internet findings together, and you call that research. Don't do that to me, please. You were not doing research. You were compiling data. I pay my secretaries to do that. Don't call that research. Research is when you get it. I think you're getting it today. I think you're understanding that when you eat that garbage, it goes down. No, you eat that healthy food from Whole Foods, that nutrient-free organic food that slipped by the Organic Food Act, that basically just comes off soil that's not even fertilized, but that still passes through. And you eat that food, and you inflame your intestine because that health food just didn't taste good. It didn't hit you right. Or that junk food. Either way, that epithelial cell, when it works too hard, that cell starts to look like, now go to picture 12. Go to picture number 12. It starts to become damaged. Your body during the digestive process, when the cell works too hard, to absorb that food, it will produce various types of, whether oxygen-based or otherwise, free radicals. And the membranes of those cells will begin to look like shriveled grapes. If you can get that from this show, hang up the phone. You got everything. Listen no further. The real way we should have our health status assessed in Medici's better world is to know how shriveled up or how plump and juicy your intestinal villi are living each and every day, each and every moment for the rest of your life. If we could define that, if we could measure that, we could have some effective functional mechanism through which we could ascertain that, then we would know. Then we would know who's going to get sick and who's going to live longer and healthier and happier. When you look and think of all the digestive discord, when you take it a step further and look at all the digestive discord that morphs into autoimmune disease, into cancer, into the rest of it, that isn't even being focused on, you understand there are two worlds. There are people who understand what drives health and what protects us against disease and all the garbage out there. And no greater truth can come down to the statements I'm making today. This is why holistic medicine says health begins with digestion. This is why everybody from Dr. Robert Marshall all the way to Dr. Schultz, all the way to Mercola, all the way to the whole slew are always talking and singing about digestion, digestion, digestion. But where the rubber meets the road is in that finger-like projection called the villi. We're just starting the show. I'm setting you up for the big punch. So there's that cell attacked by free radicals. Yes, you were looking at picture number 12. It was a cell that looked like picture number 11. And where we're talking about is picture number 1, that villi. And when we blew that up cartoon style, we were all looking at picture number 7. 12, 11, 1, and 7. When I surf like this, don't blow up each picture. Just move from picture to picture with your eye, because we're just reviewing. I'm going to keep you cohesive on this, I promise. So there's all those epithelial cells. They're just lined up one after the other, like stacks of soldiers. And we say those epithelial cells, in the ideal of it, will basically get a transfer. They'll transfer what they digest into two places. Into the lacteal. That's where your fat protein complexes get sucked up, in the lacteal. It's like a little lymph vessel. And then glucose et al. Will get sucked up in that magenta color, not the red, the magenta color, the red. The red on picture 7 is arterial flow to keep the villi alive. Remember, the villi are a bunch of cells. So that finger-like projection, one of 15 trillion or something, each of those 15 trillion have 15 gazillion little epithelial cells lining them. And those cells need blood, because they have a big job to do, because they have to work to absorb that food. Do you get the flow now? You get the flow? Let's do that again. Those finger-like projections, the villi, I showed you that big picture, number 1, have to suck in all that food. What's doing the work are each of those epithelial cells, and those cells hopefully are in good shape. If they're not, you got problems, and we'll get to that. But those cells, those epithelial cells, they have to be fed by blood supply, their own blood supply. And that's what that red is. But after those epithelial cells digest, absorb in all that protein, carbohydrates, and fats, two other places suck them up. One is that yellow thing, which is the lacteal, which is your lymph vessel. Your fats and your proteins get pulled in. And the other one is that magenta-colored one. That's like the vein. Other pictures make that dark blue. Go to picture number 9. Picture 9. There you go. Now look at picture 9. Look at picture 9. Now look at that. There's the red arterial flow in. You see the epithelium? One cell thick to increase diffusion rate. Microvilli increase surface area for absorption, of course. If the inside of the 35 feet of small intestine was just flat, you'd get no absorption. The organism wouldn't run. So we put gazillions of these intestinal villi, and they effectively increase the ability in any given moment to absorb much more food. If you can digest it, these villi let you absorb it in infinitely greater proportions. And then there's the lacteal, absorbs fatty acids and glycerol. Yeah, pardon me, not protein, although I'm not sure about that fully. But and then the blood capillary. Now, they take that dark blue. Why? Because that's going up into the portal vein and taking glucose and amino acid into your liver. So you have an arterial system in the red, a venous system out, which becomes the portal vein to the liver, and then the lacteal, which is the lymphatic, which is fatty acids, glycerol, and perhaps amino acid. I think amino acids are absorbed in both the lacteal because they're bound to the fat, but forgive me. Some of the details elude me from time to time. I'm a big picture guy. That's what drives the machine, the big picture. All right, you've got that. Now, first punch. What happens when those cells work too hard? I'm going to show you, and I think you can handle this. Go to picture number 34. Go all the way down to picture 34. Down there in picture 34. Had to put your thinking caps on today. Yes, you did. That's okay. This should be fairly familiar to you. Those are those epithelial cells. Those little red dots are the nuclei in all those epithelial cells lining the intestinal villi. Do you see the little lines or the borders to each of these epithelial cells, those borders? Those borders are the membranes of the epithelial cell. And you can see how tight those junctions are. They're really tight, the space between one epithelial cell and another. So this is so important, I'm going to repeat myself. Go to picture 34, blow it up. Now look at the space between each of those cells. So first you're looking at the red dots. And you see each rectangle, which is a cell, has a red dot in the center. And between each one of those rectangles is the membrane or the outline of the cell, meeting the outline of the next cell. So one membrane is pressing into the next membrane of each cell. Okay, you got that. Now, I'm going to move you over to another. Look at picture 36. Mucosal barrier. This is picture 36. Just look at the title. Mucosal barrier, tight junctions. Mucosal barrier, tight junctions. There are four major types of junctions in epithelial cells. In other words, the cell pressed up against the other cell is one barrier between cells. And those junctions, those spaces between the cells are held together, they're saying, with four major types of junctions. Some encircle the cell, others are more like spot welds that tie the two cells together at a specific region or form a tunnel connecting the cytoplasm of adjacent cells. There's all sorts of relationships between these epithelial cells. These epithelial cells, now go back to picture 34, okay? Go back to picture 34. Those epithelial cells are like little kids cuddling in bed. They're all wrapped around each other like little gerbils. Like when you've got a bunch of little gerbils or hamsters. And they all intertwine with each other. Their surfaces are stuck tight on the other surfaces. Those cells are spooning with each other. And we study the junctions, the surface attachments between each of those cells. And we say they got to be tight. We say if the junction, now here's the punch, becomes inflamed, you got problems. Now, why does the junction become inflamed? Because the cell becomes inflamed. Because if you go back up to picture 12, that shriveled up prune cell, when the cell starts to prune up, those junctions between the membranes of those cells, they change. They're no longer what we call tight junctions. So we study histologically, microscopically, tight junctions. When the cells are overwrought from the garbage we eat, from our digestive insufficiency, and other things which we'll get to in a moment. And the whole digestive thing is not the fusion between taste and nourishment. It tastes great, and then I get sick. Or, worse yet, in the name of health and nourishment, I vomit later. When it's either one of these extreme idiocies, and you fail to bring the fusion of taste and nourishment, those cells work too hard. And you can feel that in your body. And then those cells begin to look prunish. And then those tight junctions aren't so tight anymore. Now here's the killer. Picture 35. Look at this. Picture 35. I want you to take a moment here and get picture 35. Just sit there and meditate over picture 35. Simple little kindergarten picture. Little kindergarten picture says the whole thing. Look at the word lumen, lumen. That's the inside of your small intestine, where all your starch and your protein and your fat is hopefully broken down to fatty acids, amino acids, and some version of glucose. And there are those little intestinal villi with their little cilia. And each of those cells, it's just cells on one villi. And each of those villi is interfacing with a bigger blood supply, that blue blood plexus. Remember that blue or magenta blood plexus that I showed you earlier? So I want you to do this now. Just hold that picture, 35, and just go up and just take a glance now once again at picture number 9. Go look at picture 9. Now drop down and blow up picture 35. They're trying to say the same thing. Picture 9 has those epithelial cells interfacing with a blue blood supply, a blue blood drainage system, the blood that receives the digested food. That's what you're looking at picture 35. And then there's body cells. Now, what do we mean by body cells? Those are the cells of your organs. Just pick your organ. You have lupus and you're in renal failure. You have heart disease. You're neurodegenerating in the brain. Your joints are falling apart. You have rheumatoid arthritis. You have depression. You're schizophrenic. You've got colitis. You've got Crohn's disease. You've got low back pain. You've got some unknown, undiagnosed infection that no one can find. You name it. This is what's going on. This is what's driving it. This is what you can't afford not to understand. That this interface between these respiratory, these epithelial cells, and this blood supply taking the food to the body cells has been infiltrated. It's been terrorized. Because from that space there in the lumen, slipping and sliding through the spaces between the epithelial cells, not sucked up by the epithelial cells, but slipping in between them, getting through the tight junctions, between those epithelial cells. The tight junctions between the epithelial cells have been compromised because the epithelial cell has been chronically inflamed. The tight junction is where the action is. If the space between the membranes of the epithelial cells expands too much, undigested, partially digested food particles slip between those spaces, get brought up into the bloodstream, and interface with the cells in your organ systems. And the immune system sees that and goes berserk. Now, you got to get that. You got to tell that to your friends. You got to tell that to your children. You got to tell that to everybody. You can reduce the entire pharmacopoeia, the entire encyclopedia of medicine and disease to this space. That's how important this is. Any disease needs to look at this system. Any disease. And anyone worth their salt in holistic medicine knows that when you have someone that's sick, symptomatic, or someone that wants to be radiantly healthy, whatever you've got, you have to look at this interface here in picture number 35. Take that picture and imprint that into your brain for as long as you live, because whatever you're doing, whatever you're eating, whatever you're not eating, whatever bile flow you've got or don't have, whatever HCL you're producing or not producing, whatever pancreatic strength you have or don't have, whatever's going on, whatever's been cut out, however you're eating your food, whatever you think you're doing when you're eating your food, it comes down to, are those tight junctions between the epithelial cells of your intestinal villi, numbering in the trillions, are they tight? Because if they're not, they get partly digested, not superiorly digested, but partly digested food particles into the blood, and that blood will deliver them ultimately to the cell. And the cell, not knowing the difference, or effectively being desperate for food, will what? Attach to the particle. And the immune system will float by and see it and go, something's wrong here. And the immune system, the police department of your entire body, blows a whistle and boom, you have a massive inflammatory response in your body. If the public could just get this, you know, you have to get this. You have to get this to sustain you in the discipline required, the humility required. You have to get this to sustain yourself in the discipline this requires, to weather yourself and journey yourself through the storm of healing. And no digestive enzyme will fix this. This is not about digestive enzymes. This is about food choices. This is about more deeply knowing your food choice. I didn't say finding the diet that's right for you, did I? I didn't say finding the GAPS diet. I didn't say finding the paleo diet. I mean, look at this. When are we going to come together and figure this out? I will tell you, this is stupid. It's stupid. We have paleo on one side. We have McDougal on the other side. We have David Wolf on the other side. This is stupid. It's as stupid as anything. And yes, I will be politically incorrect for the rest of my life. I said stupid. When you have people dogmatically pushing a way to eat, it's stupid. People need to get one thing straight, no matter how you eat. No matter how you eat, make sure that the scene down there in the tight junctions of your intestine, whether you're eating white rice or brown rice or raw meat or raw fat or cooked fat, no matter what, make sure those villi are going, no problem, dude. No inflammation in this cell. Anything that gets through me doesn't get through my tight junctions. Anything that gets through me gets through because it's supposed to get through. And this is where you'll have your massive gain. And when I say stupid, I only mean that people are blindly looking to attach to a diet and then toot their horn about it. And this is not where health is. Health is you, the public, understanding where the rubber meets the road and then finding your process specific to you. And that's very generous. It's very generous because it's Jeet Kune Do. It's absorb what's useful to you. And that, I assure you, will get you miles ahead of the game. There are some people that cure with McDougal. There are some people that cure with Agenus. There are some people that cure with Weston Price. There are some people who swear by GAPS. And there are some people who swear by paleo. And everybody's right and everybody's wrong. And everybody's right when it works for them. And everybody's wrong when they start creating this is the way. There is no way. There is only one way. And that is to discipline yourself to feel that place in your digestive system where taste and nourishment fuse. So you don't get these partly digested particles creating immune system responses and causing you everything, everything under the sun. Now, did you ever hear, go to picture 23, of the gut second brain influencing mood and well-being? The emerging and surprising view of how the enteric nervous system in our bellies goes far beyond just processing the food we eat. What that means is there are neurotransmitters. There are chemicals secreted. Here, look at this, picture 24. Go to picture 24. Enteric nervous system contains many transmitters. 5-HT, substance P, VIP, CGRP. The point is, there are many chemicals produced when the food you put down your gullet is being celebrated by your intestinal villi. When those villi dance, chemicals are made. Those chemicals will bind receptor sites in your brain. GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA, one of the neurotransmitters mentioned or not, it's irrelevant. The point is, when you eat the fusion between food and nourishment, taste and nourishment, chemical signals go off that find receptors in your brain and you feel satiety. You feel happy. You feel good, or you don't. You do or you don't. If you surf it right, you do. If you're sick with digestive discord, IBS, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, autoimmune disease, the first place you look is in the discipline through which you sensitize yourself to those signals, where your brain goes, yes, I'm in bliss, because you just put something in your mouth that's the fusion between taste and nourishment. Now there it is. It's all in a couple of sentences. It's all you got to do. It's no more complicated than that. But we as humans are great at complicating simple things. We have complicated this, and primarily we've complicated this because we've transgressed, well, I'll say we've transgressed a physiological understanding, and that is, look at picture 22. There's a brain in your gut. You see those yellow things? Picture 22. There are nerve plexuses. Picture 22. By the way, if you're new to the show, I hope you're mesmerized. I hope you're interested. I hope you know there's a tone in these words you haven't heard. I hope you're understanding there's a brain in your gut. I hope if you're still confused or you feel like you're over your head, you give us a call at my office. I'll set you on the path. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Give my office a call. I've got a great staff. Make the appointment and start the journey. If the show sounds good to you, take the first step. Get on the phone and make the call. And don't think it. Just do it. You see? I know you're confused, and I know you're disgusted, and I know you're afraid, and I know all of these things. There's little I haven't seen at this point. But understand that if you can grasp the central concepts of the show, and hundreds and thousands of you listen to the show at this point, all over, there's a brain in your gut, and you've got to make it happy. You cannot intercept the bliss of food, the food response. You can't intercept it with, I'm going to introduce a term now, a sympathetic dominant nervous system. If you're in sympathetic dominance, you will not have the proper gut-brain connection. If you're in sympathetic dominance, if you are stressed, you ever see people eat? Stressed people, when they eat, they're shoveling the food down, they're not even chewing it, they're not enjoying it, they're talking, and swallowing their food in big chunks. They're in a rush. They only have 20 minutes for lunch. They had 30 minutes, but something happened. They had to make a phone call. The person wouldn't get off the cell phone. Now they only have 15 minutes. They only have 15 minutes before they get back into the office, into the cubicle, into the closed AC loop with no windows, under fluorescent lights, and they've got to get back to it. And so they shove down something that no one can digest anyway. And that's the way we eat. And I'm talking about the celebration of food. Go out to the park, sit under a tree, and eat a ripe piece of fruit. Eat anything. But look for that moment where you feel like it tasted great and it did something to your being. You've got to find that. That's the gut-brain connection. Sympathetic, dominant people don't appreciate it. They can't get to it. Go to picture number 28. The enteric nervous system, the brain and the gut. There it is. It's everywhere. Go to GAPS, the brain and the gut. Everybody's talking about the brain and the gut. What they mean is don't stuff your food down in big whole chunks, rushing in between the chores of the day. Turn food into a sacred experience. Master the art of it. And that's an opener to making sure your tight junctions stay tight. Or when all hell breaks loose, don't go looking for biopsies. Don't go looking for specific diagnoses. Don't go looking for what you need to do for your autoimmune disease and what you need to do for your colitis and what you need to do for this and what you need to do for that. Get more fundamental. Picture 29. The gut is the only organ that contains an intrinsic nervous system. It's got its own brain. It's able to mediate reflexes in the complete absence of input from the brain or spinal cord. That's right. There are 100 million nerve cells in the human small intestine, equal to the number of nerve cells in the spinal cord. Add on the nerve cells of esophagus, stomach, large intestine. You have more nerve cells in our bowel than in our spine. We have more nerves in our gut than in the entire remainder of our peripheral nervous system. The enteric nervous system, this vast chemical warehouse within which is represented every one of the classes of neurotransmitters found in the brain. Do you appreciate the depth of that statement? Well, Kaiser doesn't. Well, who you saw this year for your physical has no clue. You're being treated for a myriad of diseases symptomatically and being told this is how we do it to the best knowledge of modern medicine. Well, what are we writing statements like that for? And who would argue with those statements in their right mind? So number one, this relationship with food that must support that celebration of the fusion between taste and nourishment. I've said that so many times. Now go to picture 26. The vagus nerve. That vagus nerve goes to the gut. That vagus nerve delivers the enteric nervous system. That vagus nerve is the relay button between the enteric nervous system in your gut and those opiate receptors in your brain. And go to picture 27. Look at that. When you look like the guy on the right, 42 pounds there, picture 27, when you have that much anterior head carriage, you don't have vagal function. When you do not have flexibility, you do not have vagal function. When you cannot isolate the occiput from C1 and feel the profusion of energy through your body, as in an osteopathic or chiropractic adjustment, as in, better yet, you doing it on your own through daily experience. When you cannot isolate that upper cervical region, you do not have really good vagal transmission between the gut and the brain. There's the structural issue. The emotional issue? Did I say sympathetic dominance before? Yes, I said sympathetic dominance before. When you're sympathetic dominant, that means for a variety of reasons you've gone into stress states. See any one of my 214 shows. If you know anyone that mentions the word sympathetic dominance more than me, let me know. Get the book, Stress of Life, Hans Selye, Sympathetic Dominance, The Stress of Life. Learn that word because that enteric nervous system doesn't deliver. You do not make neurotransmitters when you eat food. You do not derive pleasure from food. You only shove the food down your mouth like millions of Americans each day and suffer from the highest chronic disease rate known in the history of mankind. This is why paleo hit. He was so smart to talk about the caveman. Because archaeology, anthropology, resurrected the caveman from some big dope that ran around being hunted by lions to a dude that worked 18 hours a week and partied the rest of the day. Yeah. And Cordain attached the word paleo to it. And you're darn right. If you go into the diets that are paleo-driven, I don't know what McDougall's talking about, but I'm sure he has some good reasons to say what he's saying. I think every one of these people do, because every one of them probably notes that what they're touting worked for them and then works for some other people. And then the ones it doesn't work for, they don't look at. That's what annoys me. I can tell you, being in the field for 2.5 decades, nothing works for everybody, ever. But what works for everybody all the time, so I contradicted myself, is, and you'll appreciate it, absorb what's useful. What works for everybody is respecting the diversity between everybody. And this is what we have to bring our heads together on and get off this bandwagon. Because the public, and you're the public, are never going to realize you have one last task, and that's to get educated. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. Give us a call. Make the appointment. You might be over your head with all this stuff. It's understandable. You're a lawyer, an accountant, a doctor. You drive a truck 70 hours a week cross country. You're a teacher. You're a lawyer. You're a plumber. Whatever. You got problems, and you're willing to step outside the box and not look for the simple herbal solution. 714-850-1007. Last but not least, I really need to do a 2-hour show. I don't even get warmed up for 45 minutes. I may well be doing that fairly soon. We're going to start doing an extra half an hour, very possibly on internet radio. So all you have to do is press another button on the computer and we'll add on a half an hour. Maybe we'll even do question and answer, but your questions will be screened. I only want questions that are relevant to the show and questions from people who I know are thinking. If you're not thinking, my screeners will say, look, it's a great question, but this is what you have to think about before you get on the air. So, the small intestine. Go down to picture 14. Go to picture 14. You see all those little white things? Those are adhesions. Those are intestinal adhesions. Do you think they could really start to screw up and promote an inflammatory response in your small intestine? You bet. If you have adhesions in between the loops of your bowels, go to picture 17. Go to picture 17. Now, you see that white cellophane-like stuff? What a great picture. What a wonderful picture. Look at picture 17. Blow it up a little if you need to. That white sort of stringy stuff holding the intestine to the bowel wall, to the abdominal wall. That white, gluey, cellophane-like stuff holding the bowel, that's an adhesion. The cartoon in picture 14 is showing that you can have a lot of small intestine adhesions. That's where your digestion's going to inflame. That's where your epithelial cells are going to lose their tight junctions. That's where you're going to be promoting disease. Do you have a lot of those adhesions? Yes, you do. You do. You're bloated. You're tight in the quads. You're collapsed through the groin. You're not flexible. You're sympathetically dominant driven. You're eating garbage. You've had cesareans, episiotomies, abdominal surgeries, gallbladders taken out. You've had all sorts of reasons to develop adhesions in the gut, and those adhesions will drive your problems. Thus, people more in the know are always looking for what? These interference fields. Interference fields are in part, adhesions through the fascial system that surgeons are aware of. But if you come in with IBS, colitis, autoimmune disease, no one's thinking about adhesions. If you come in and you can't poop, or you're infarcting and about to burst your abdomen, then we think about adhesions. But until we're on the ER table, we don't think about adhesions. We have what you call subclinical adhesions. Now look at picture 15. There's adhesions inside the small intestine, adhesions outside the small intestine, adhesions inside the small intestine. And your 35 feet of small intestine becomes one massive amount of interference field, of adhesion. You've got to take care of that. Psyche, adhesions, chemical insults due to the garbage foods we eat. sympathetic, dominant people shoving their food down, not being able to connect to the pleasure of the moment where taste and nourishment combine. Okay, here we go. You want a way out of all of it? Master some version of what this woman is doing. This is called Nolly. You've seen it before. We've seen it again. Pardon this show. It gets a little risque for just a flash of a moment. All right, not to call your attention to it, but this is really the best YouTube I get on this. Look at what this woman does, swishing her body around, and then ask yourself if you think you could even exist with an adhesion, if you could even do a tenth of this. And think of people overweight, static, scarred, sympathetic dominant, not flexible, and compare that state to what this young woman is doing. And ask yourself, why aren't our children learning Nolly? Why aren't we taking our knowledge of anatomy in chiropractic school, naturopathic school, and demanding, mandating this across the globe, across the United States? This should be as second nature as lifting weights in the gym. Look at what this woman does. I'm going to curb the volume. Take your volume down. I'm 8 seconds into it. I'm 12 seconds into it. 15 seconds. Just give her a little time. Okay, move to like 39 seconds. 40 seconds. Move to that. Okay, move to 1 minute. Go to 1 minute. Just push it to 1 minute. Look what she's doing with that abdomen. Right, you're looking at this woman do Nolly, and I want you to think of all those adhesions and all that chemical problem. Look at what she's doing there. You're anything after 1 minute on this YouTube. Just watch this woman go and manipulate her small bowel and her large bowel. Think of the return on this. Think of the return on Nolly. Think of you. Think of yourself with your illness, your disease, your autoimmune problem, doing what you're watching this woman do on the YouTube. Look at that. I'm at a minute and 40 seconds. Look at that. That's right. Forget your drugs. Forget your herbs. Forget everything. Just tell yourself within 1 year, 2 years, you're going to lose enough weight and get flexible enough to do that. And you kiss your problems goodbye. I don't care what problems you are. You're not thinking clearly if you're thinking that you need a specific therapy. The specific therapy for you is to sum up the number of natural laws of health dictated by 214 shows. Discipline yourself to mastery of as many of them as you can. Nolly being first and foremost. Look at that woman go. God bless her. God bless Nolly. God bless you. I hope you've learned much. Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. If you want to take it to the higher level. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.